This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Great to be along with you for hour number two. Lots of baseball coming in this hour as we visit with Greg Amsinger, Chaim Bloom, and Bernie Miklas in consecutive segments, 11:15, 11:30, 11:45. We'll talk a little football with Bernie probably, but a lot of baseball as he'll comment on whatever Chaim Bloom discusses with me at 11:30. And before that, Greg Amsinger is doing an event with Ollie and Chaim on January 16th, he's going to tell us about. We'll get his perspective as well from a national perspective. But right now, after we've talked U.S. ski team, we've talked college basketball, we've talked IU football, we've discussed Mizzou and Illinois from a basketball standpoint, and we had a nice conversation with Barrett Jackman about the Blues. I think it's time to talk about the NFL. The NFL playoffs begin next weekend. This is the final weekend, the final day of NFL regular season. Normally we do some picks during this segment, Drew, but I think these games are not very good. I mean, most of these games have no meaning, so it's hard to pick. It doesn't really feel right, but I'm going to highlight a couple of games that I think are going to be of interest. The first one is New Orleans at Atlanta. And the Falcons, if they win it, are going to put the Carolina Panthers in the playoffs as the NFC South champion. But if the Saints win it, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are NFC South champions and the Panthers are out. That's because Tampa Bay won yesterday 16-14, setting up this tiebreaker scenario. If Atlanta wins, all three teams will finish at 8-9. Atlanta can't be the champion. They've been eliminated, but they would be 8-9. And in a three-way tiebreaker, Carolina gets that based on matchups. But if New Orleans wins, that bumps Atlanta out of a tiebreaker scenario, and it would be Carolina versus Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay wins that tiebreaker. So again, if the Saints win, Tampa Bay's in. If Atlanta wins, Tampa Bay is out and Carolina is in. And this would be the Bucs trying to make five straight division championships, five straight playoff appearances. They've kind of run things down there in the NFC South. I do like the Falcons today. I don't know about four, but I'll go ahead, whatever. Falcons might. I don't even want to do picks, honestly, but I'll just say I think it's going to be a tough one. I don't know if the Saints can do that down there in the ATL. Then the other game of note is the Sunday night game, Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Let's do pick that one. Ravens, a 3-point favorite to take the AFC North at Pittsburgh. This is a great matchup. Very exciting to see what's basically a playoff game before the playoffs. Steelers win, they win the division. Ravens win, they win the division. The Ravens are a 3-point favorite at Pittsburgh. Do not tell me that the Pittsburgh Steelers, one of the crown jewels of the NFL, are going to miss an opportunity at home to beat the Ravens and win the division. Give me Steelers plus 3, and if I'm wrong, well, the Steelers should be, I'm not going to say should fire Mike Tomlin. I think that's a little extreme. By the way, stay away from Kurt Cignetti. Everybody, okay? But the Steelers should win that game. I mean, it's a Sunday night game at home against the Ravens for the division. What more do you want? Stop stubbing your toe, Pittsburgh, and get yourselves a victory. They lost at Cleveland 13-6 after ripping off three in a row to put themselves in this position. So those are the big ones. So here's how it looks right now, just at this very moment. If the season were to end right now, Denver, the number one seed in the AFC, would play the Pittsburgh-Baltimore winner. I've got Pittsburgh as the four right now. since I'm picking Pittsburgh. They would be the 4 seed taking on Houston. And the 4-5 game, the winner plays Denver. New England and Buffalo in the 2-7 game. Jacksonville and the Chargers in the 3-6 game. That's how it's set up at this very moment. In the NFC, Seattle, with its 13-3 win at San Francisco last night, claimed the number one seed and a bye in the NFC. If you're going to go to the Super Bowl, you're going to have to go through Seattle. They're excellent. Very good defense. At the moment, they would play the winner of Carolina and San Francisco. Because, again, I told you I've got the Falcons winning today. So that would put Carolina into the playoffs. The 4-5 game, Carolina and San Francisco to play Seattle. And then Chicago and Green Bay right now is set up as the 2-7 game. Oh, baby. At Soldier Field. And then Philadelphia and the Rams, the 3-6 game in Philadelphia. Good luck there. The Eagles are going to win that game. They are so tough this time of year. They just find ways, don't they? Anyway, that's how it's set up for the NFL playoffs. Looking forward to all of it. KMOX will be involved in the playoffs as well. We'll let you know as we get a little closer which games we're going to be carrying once the schedule is set. Tomorrow morning on Total Information AM, I will break down the entire schedule for you and let you know when and where and what time, which networks have it, etc. We will take a timeout when we come back. MLB Network's Greg Amsinger. Once upon a time, he worked right here at KMOX. He was behind the glass helping out Sports Open Line. Now he is the lead anchor on MLB Network, and we will visit with him next on KMOX. 11:16 on Sports on a Sunday morning. Coming up, Chaim Bloom, Bernie Miklas. That's how we'll round out the show. But right now, we're joined by a former KMOXer. It's so great to have Greg Amsinger back on the radio station. Anytime we get to chat with him is a good day. What's going on? MLB Network host has got himself an event coming up later this month. How are you, Greg?
I am doing well, Tom Ackerman. Good to hear your voice. Yeah, I'll be in town on the 16th for what's going to be, I think, an exciting night, a positive and exciting way to kick off the 2026 baseball season, in my opinion. I'm calling it the Amsinger Series, new Cardinals baseball era. Chaim Bloom, Ali Marmol on stage with me on the campus of Lindenwood University's Scheidegger Center. It's going to be a blast, man.
That looks like a great time. 7 o'clock start, 6 o'clock for a VIP meet and greet opportunity. And I think those two gentlemen love talking ball. I did something with Ali a couple years ago where we did not broadcast it. Same type of thing where we just let people ask him questions and chat with him, and I asked him questions. And he embraces that. I, you know, you've spent some time with him. He just loves talking baseball, and he'll do it all night.
You know, it's fun hanging out with these guys at the winter meetings. And I was just in Orlando, and I was with Chaim, and I was with Ali. And, you know, everyone congregates around the bar in the lobby, and I've been known to do that from time to time. And here comes the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals with a backwards baseball cap on and a cool T-shirt and, like, a leather jacket. And I'm like, this is a new day. Like, this day and age of Whitey Herzog walking around and Tony Lucer walking around. Like, Chaim and Ali and I were all in our 40s. And I kind of want people to know how cool these dudes are. I want to get to know them as human beings on stage, hang out. And then I'm going to work the crowd, and they can ask them questions about the direction of the organization. So I would be walking up and down at the beautiful theater on campus of Lindenwood University. And this event means a lot to me. It's something I kind of want to make a staple as they kick off their winter caravan, the St. Louis Cardinals. There are just two groups that mean a lot to me. And it's why I'm at MLB Network right now. I fell in love with the St. Louis Cardinals as a youngster, Whitey Ball, Ozzie Smith, Jack Clark, Willie McGee, all those guys, just like you, and Lindenwood University, which gave me this incredible atmosphere to be creative, and I was supported to do all great things. So merging those two together is going to make for a magical night for me, and I hope everyone that buys tickets and fills it up. It's going to be a fun night at the theater.
Check it out by going to lindenwood.edu. It's right there on the front page. You can buy tickets right off their website. Greg, what do you make of where the Cardinals are right now? I mean, I think they're in need of some transparency, some clarification, some explanation as to what their direction is, and they are providing that through those two.
Well, look, Chaim Bloom has a track record of identifying young talent. If you look at what he did with two other organizations, most recently with the Boston Red Sox, they're young players through the eye and lens of Chaim Bloom. He has a skill for doing that. Now, clearly, he is very aware of the talent that the Boston Red Sox have. He's made numerous deals with the Red Sox, and there have been talks that maybe Brendan Donovan would go to Boston, but he understands what the organization needs. The Cardinals are not going to outslug anyone in 2026. So the fact that he's made moves to bring in so many young arms makes a lot of sense to me. You can win 1- and 2-run games and squeak your way into a wild card. And when people roll their eyes when I mention the Cardinals potentially being a wild card team in 2026, I just try to remind them of all the other mid-market, mid-payroll teams that have not just made it into the expanded postseason that we have today, and I think all Major League Baseball fans enjoy, but have made a deep run into the playoffs. No one saw the Arizona Diamondbacks coming from a couple years away. But what was the core of that success? It was the relationship between Tony Vitello, Mike Hazen, who I absolutely love, the GM of the Arizona Diamondbacks, and Torrey Lovello, who I think is an outstanding manager. Those two together had such a great relationship back and forth that it led to success that no one saw coming. I want people at home to know that Chaim Bloom, Ollie Marmol, they're on the same page. He had every right, Chaim Bloom, to make a change of manager if he wanted to, bring in his own guy, but chose not to do that because he sees the potential and the talent in Ollie Marmol. So I really want people at home in St. Louis to know that these two guys are the beginnings of the recipe of success in St. Louis.
What do you think happens between now and maybe even your event? I mean, what's next for the Cardinals in terms of trades and transactions?
I think the Cardinals have to continue to explore moving the guys that they're getting phone calls on. Jojo Romero, I think, is going to get moved. There are too many teams that want a guy that's got that kind of tenacity, who's got pitchability coming out of the bullpen. I think he'll eventually get moved. I think Brendan Donovan is going to get moved. There are just too many teams that want him. Every single club that's in a win-now mode wants Brendan Donovan. Now, up until this event on the 16th, I'm not sure that happens. Obviously, fans in St. Louis probably want to see Nolan Arenado off the books. But there's a new reality. I think Chaim brought that up at the winter meetings, that there is a realistic chance, Tom, that Nolan's playing third base for the St. Louis Cardinals, even though we gave him a farewell tour in his last regular season game. We thought on the same day we said goodbye to John Mozeliak at Busch Stadium. So there's a chance that he sits pat, and he can do that because the end game is 2028, to be ready to rock and be a force, not just in the NL Central, but to compete with the big dollars of the Los Angeles Dodgers, because that's where baseball is right now. Can you, in the National League, compete with the Los Angeles Dodgers? You're not going to do it with your payroll, but you have to do it with a young core. So I think moves via trade are essential. And look, I wouldn't be shocked to see a Mason Winn get a contract extension. I wouldn't be blown away to see an Alec Burleson get a contract extension or a Matthew Liberatore. At some point, and Chaim knows this, you're going to have to start building a young core and then have the pieces go around that. Even if you're not, quote unquote, in win-now mode right now, the young core has to start to get established.
You know that voice, Greg Amsinger from MLB Network is with us. You're well-connected. I mean, what are people saying on both sides about 2027? I mean, is there a legitimate fear that we could have a stoppage, or do you think they are showing some optimism anywhere that they could work something out?
Well, listen, I was in Vegas for the MLB Awards, and I had a chance to talk to Commissioner Rob Manfred, and I thanked him for already beginning the conversations with the Players Association just a couple days before he was in Vegas for that event at the owners' meetings, and he had an initial meet with them, and that is a big step forward compared to years past. And the fact that he is not just waiting to the end of this collective bargaining agreement to expire to begin those conversations is symbolic of where the league is. And I hope both sides recognize there's just too much momentum right now for Major League Baseball. We're coming off, in my opinion, the best World Series I've ever seen. That was an incredible World Series. We've got Aaron Judge in his prime. We've got Shohei Ohtani in his prime. How in the world, 50 years from now, looking back, would we not feel like we missed out? The world missed out on two incredible individual performers that are faces of a generation of Major League Baseball. So I just hope that both sides recognize, and I believe they do, Tom, I really do, that missing time is just not going to help the evolution of this great game. And the numbers are trending up, the impressions on social media, the ratings are up, everything is working in baseball's direction. And I really think that that initial meeting before the MLB Awards in Vegas was incredibly important for Rob Manfred to extend that olive branch to, like, hey, let's try to make something work sooner rather than later.
It does feel like the game is in a good place in terms of popularity. Just wait till the Cardinals are good again. I mean, you know how big this fan base is. They're all out there. I mean, we see them, we interact with them, we hear from them. The ratings all over the place are very good. Radio, TV. My question to you is, you know, you look, you know, you grew up a Cardinals fan, you see some empty seats, but you also know that there's a frustration within the base. You know, we watch your show, such a great show. But as Cardinals fans, you know this because you grew up one. When you don't see the Cardinals highlighted, when you don't see players being spotlighted, it is like, who are we? I mean, it's just a weird time right now to be a Cardinals fan. It's a place that we have not been, at least not in my lifetime.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, we're pretty much the same age. And every year since we can remember, there was always a star, right? There was always a star on the St. Louis Cardinals, whether it was Ozzie Smith, whether it was Mark McGwire, you can move all the way up to Albert Pujols. Like, there was always a star that you hang your hat on. And I believe Nolan Arenado is a future Hall of Famer at third base, a star, but his time in St. Louis looks like it's come to an end. Going into this new era, it reminds me, and I'm going to bring up an early 90s team that still had Ozzie Smith at the end of his career before Royce Clayton came and took that spot over. But it reminds me of Bernard Gilkey in left field and Ray Lankford in center. And here comes Brian Jordan. And here's some guy named Greg Jeffries we're going to sign to put at first base. Ended up being really smart money. But this is kind of where we're at. And what I liked about those early teams is it was a style of play. They created a style of play, and why were the Cardinals of the 80s so special? Because Whitey Herzog did not try to outslug teams. He saw the ballpark that he had. He constructed a roster along with Dal Maxville that was a new style of play, and I'm hoping that this current regime can figure out what that style is. Because I don't think, and I agree with you, that if you win, they will come back. I don't think it ends that way. This fan base is far too sophisticated in the sport of baseball. They need players. They want to go buy jerseys. There's no fan base that wears a baseball jersey to a game more than fans in St. Louis. But they're not going to do that if they don't know that Victor Scott's going to be around beyond his years of control. They don't know that Alec Burleson's going to be around beyond three more years of arbitration. They want to know that these guys are going to stick around and they're theirs, right? So, and then you're going to need to add a star. You're going to need to find that guy that's the smart money buy. I brought up Greg Jeffries, but the Lance Berkman, the Carlos Beltran, the guys that came over and knew that this was a great place. And I've said this before, and I'm going to say it on January 16th at Lynwood during this event. Cardinal Nation was the tiebreaker. And you know this, Tom, when the big market team would offer a four-year contract for a certain money for a free agent, and the Cardinals would offer similar money, maybe less, but they were competitive. The thing that put it over the top was the culture of playing in St. Louis. The energy of that ballpark, how many of my colleagues that I work with every day at MLB Network told me, from Al Leiter to Dan Plesac, you name it, they wish they would have played for the St. Louis Cardinals. Because playing at Busch Stadium was a marquee event. It was packed every night. Fans in St. Louis need to recognize that when they fill that ballpark up, they're helping break the tie in free agency. When the Cardinals are ready to spend money, they need that ballpark filled up. They need that to be a scene because you're recruiting the players. No group recruits players better than the fan base. And I can't wait for St. Louis Cardinal baseball to have that advantage again.
Well said, buddy. I appreciate it, and I can't wait for your event. It's going to be on Friday, January 16th, Scheidegger Center, Lindenwood University, the Amsinger Series with Ollie Marmol and Chaim Bloom at 7 o'clock on the 16th. Have a great time with it, and we'll catch up with you real soon.
Tom, you're the best. Talk soon, bud.
Good to talk to you, man. Greg Amsinger, MLB Network with us. Chaim Bloom's coming up next right here on KMOX.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a paper listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Great to visit with Greg Amsinger last segment from MLB Network. Good to talk to him again. And we're joined by the man he's going to talk to on January 16th, and that is Chaim Bloom. Chaim, good morning. Great to visit with you.
Yeah, good morning, and looking forward to winter warm-up and everything that's going to be happening that weekend.
There's so much going on. You have winter warm-up. By the way, the caravan will be out rolling through some of the cities and bringing some players out to the folks, not in St. Louis, but the Baseball Writers' Dinner on Sunday. I understand you're going to be holding a VIP Q&A session there, which I think is a neat opportunity, too. I think that... It sounds like you are very open to visiting with this fan base and just talking baseball. I mean, there's something about talking about this game. There's never an easy just, you know, answer to something. There's various ways you can look at the game of baseball, and I think that's one of the more appreciative things about it, don't you think?
Yeah, and that's part of the beauty of it. That's part of why we all love it so much. No matter how much you think you've seen, how much you think you know, there's always something else that you haven't seen yet. There's always something else to learn about the game. That's really so many people that I've been fortunate enough to work with in this game. That's what drives us. That's the exciting part about getting to do what we do every day.
What has the offseason been like just communicating with everybody, too? I mean, it's obviously you've been with the team for a couple of years now, but with your new position and getting everything ready to go for this coming, we're here. I mean, it's January. So what has that been like, your communications with the staff, with Holly Marmel, with the players? Everybody starting to buzz a little bit and get back together? Plans ready for Jupiter?
Yeah, it's such an advantage, as you point out, to have been in the organization prior to this. But of course, it is a little bit different, obviously, when you're in this seat and everybody's trying to understand how you want to operate. And same thing for me with this whole crew, understand what everybody brings to the table, even more so than I've been able to learn in the past couple of years. And really what we need to do to get everything together so that when we do get going in Jupiter, we're ready to rock. It's going to be a little bit different, obviously, knowing we're going to have a new facility that we expect will be baseball functional for us, but still be putting the finishing touches on some of that facility throughout the summer. So, you know, it's really exciting to be able to just to know that we're going to have something new to get used to and a lot more functionality down there, but also a little bit of the unknown because it will be new for us. So it is very eagerly anticipated.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting down there myself. I won't be down until the last couple of weeks of March to check out the last two and a half weeks of spring training. But I know that fans are going to start heading down there in February, and they want to navigate it too, not to mention the media and everybody else. So there's a lot of unknown as we all share this together. Can you describe some of the changes down there from a baseball standpoint that really stands out to you that's a big difference?
You mean in terms of the facility and what we're
for the team, like what is different for the team that they will experience when they get down there and start working?
Well, it will be completely transformed. Obviously our crew has done an amazing job over the years getting everything accomplished in a facility that, you know, is very nice, but obviously with where this industry has gone, where the game has gone since it was built, obviously it did not have everything that you would want if you were starting from scratch today. So we're going to have a brand new building with new weight room, new training room in there. We're going to have a cafeteria on site where we will be able to serve everybody, major leaguers, minor leaguers, which we haven't been able to do in the past. New meeting rooms. There'll be changes to the stadium that fans will see. And of course, the Marlins are doing a renovation too on their side, and they'll have some of their own things. We'll also have a new cage. So there's a lot going on, and there'll be stuff inside the building. Clubhouse will be different. We'll have new coaches' meeting rooms, redone locker room areas, really a transformed first floor of that building. And then, you know, on the second floor up where we office, hopefully we'll have a couple nice bells and whistles up there too. But mainly the newness of the experience will be for our folks in uniform.
It makes a difference for the players, doesn't it? When they're choosing, let's say in free agency, where they want to go, they have a choice. If they're looking, of course, at money, that's a big part of it. But they want to go to a place where they feel most comfortable and where the facilities are up to their standard. Isn't that a factor?
I think it's one of the biggest things that's really changed in the game during the course of the time that I've been fortunate enough to work in it. Not that this wasn't something that people emphasized before, but more that clubs, rightly so, have seen a lot of different ways that they can compete besides just what you see between the lines. And especially in the last 10 years, what we can offer our players, how much we can help them get better, things we can bring to them, whether it's, you know, things we do in terms of development, in terms of player improvement, in terms of, you know, how we can help our pitchers, how we can help our hitters. The facility is a big part of that. And so now when guys are choosing where they want to go, they don't just want to look at obviously what they're going to be compensated, although that's a huge part of it, but they also wonder, okay, if I pick this spot or that spot, where am I going to be able to get better? Where am I going to be able to get my work done more effectively so that I can maximize what I can do on the field? All this stuff matters to guys, I think increasingly so, the more and more competitive that the industry gets. So it's going to be nice to be able to take a step forward in that regard.
Chaim, with regard to the trade market and free agency for that matter, but the trade market, how are things looking? Are the phones ringing? Is it as hot as it seemed to have been back at the winter meetings?
Yeah, you know, we've talked about it a couple times, you and I, on our weekly chats, and there's kind of been a constant hum to it. Obviously, we were able earlier in the off season to get a couple deals done. The conversation has just been ongoing, like a small break for Christmas, small break for New Year's, and you could feel it really thaw out as we got into this weekend, and would expect that will continue now. Throughout January. We'll see, obviously, across the industry. Obviously, there's a lot of free agents that have yet to find their landing spots. There's still a lot of stuff on the rumor mill in terms of trades. We've been active in conversation throughout. So I would expect that to continue, and hopefully we're able to align on a few more things that we like.
Obviously not asking you to tell us about any conversations that are going on, but just your overview of Nolan Arenado's current situation. He is a St. Louis Cardinal, and he's played at a very high level for a long, long time. Just how do you view Arenado as it stands right now? And I know that, you know, he was somebody that had pretty much given some clearance that if and some acknowledgement, actually, in his own words, really, that if something were to happen, he would understand that it's possible he could have played his last game as a Cardinal.
Yeah, obviously this is a, you know, an interesting situation. I mean, first of all, I believe that Nolan's going to the Hall of Fame. There are not that many people you really single digit number of third baseman who have accomplished what he has on both sides of the ball. That I think his resume speaks for itself, and he will deserve that honor whenever it comes to him, as I believe it will. We all agree we're at a point both where we are and where he is, where it just makes sense to find a different fit. And so we've been working on that. Obviously he's still with us. So that hasn't happened yet, but you know, I've been asked about this a couple times, this offseason, actually, including by Greg, when I was, on MLB Network, at the winter meetings. And I don't feel any differently than I did at the beginning, that we do think it would be ideal for everybody to find that different fit, but it obviously has to be something that makes sense for everybody. And we have not found that yet, but I don't feel any differently than I did early in the offseason on, you know, both that it makes sense and also that we will find it at some point.
In terms of returns for players, and you're getting calls, I'm certain, about many of your players, do you feel good right now about your starting depth? Is that something that you will continue to pursue when it comes to pitching, with your eye, of course, as you've mentioned, on some position player help? You'd mentioned on this show you'd love to see some versatility. Doesn't have to be a right-handed bat, but that would be ideal.
Yeah, I do feel at this point, with the younger pitchers that we've been able to acquire in the trades that we've made and with bringing Dustin in here, that if we were to go into the season with the starting depth that we have now, we'd feel good about it, feel good that we have good options to compete for these spots. We will have a little competition in the group, you know, a nice mix of a floor of guys that we know can get the job done and have done it, and also guys with upside to grow into it and to continue to do more. That said, you never stop looking. We haven't. We want to make sure it makes sense, whether it's a veteran fit or whether it's additional young pitching. We don't want to do it just to do it, but we've continued to look out for it. And certainly if the right fit is there, we're going to continue to add to that rotation depth because you can always use more.
You'll do the winter warm-up, as you mentioned, and the baseball writers' dinner on that Sunday night, the 18th. And then people start to leave town and start to get down to Jupiter. Things start to move. I'm curious about your World Baseball Classic feelings. You've been watching this for a while, as have we. I mean, it is a heck of a TV sport. There's no doubt about that. It can have an effect on the Major League Club when players depart. We saw this we're not in the excuse-making business, but the Cardinals did have more than anybody else go to the World Baseball Classic, and it seemed like it thinned out the spring training roster for them. I mean, how do you view that moving forward?
Well, first of all, it is an amazing event for baseball. I wasn't a Cardinal at the time of the last one. I know how much this organization and the spring training vibe was impacted by so many departures. I got to go to the Dominican-Puerto Rico game that was in Miami, and it was one of the most electric baseball atmospheres I've experienced. Like so many people, I saw that epic matchup that ended the whole thing on TV. You can't look at that and not see how great it is for the sport and how wonderful it is. It's nice that we don't have it every year so it doesn't lose its novelty, but it's also really nice that there is a regular cadence. Players really care about it. It's a really cool thing for a lot of players from a lot of different places to get to compete with their country on the front of their chest. And that's a pretty special opportunity. You do have somewhat mixed feelings when you're in my seat, just knowing that you'd love to have your group together in camp. But at the same time, whether it's staff, whether it's players, it's such a special opportunity that you can't help but be happy for the guys who get to go do it. We do have a few staff who are going to be participating. And I'm sure also as these rosters come out, we'll have some players that will do it as well. And we'll be cheering them on. We will be missing them when they're not in our camp. But like I said, you can't help but be excited for them, be happy for them, and just root for them when you watch them on TV. A
lot of buzz around the game when that happens. And certainly we look forward to everything happening here in the next couple of months. See, we have turned the calendar to 2026, and that means baseball is very much on the brain. Chaim Bloom, thank you for the time. We look forward to visiting with you next time on KMOX.
You bet. It's exciting to be this close and looking forward to talking next time.
Always good to chat with the president of baseball operations, Chaim Bloom, on KMOX. We'll come back. Bernie Miklas is going to join us next. Sports on a Sunday morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
From the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I say it every time, one of my favorite times of the week, 9 minutes on the clock with Bernie Miklas. It doesn't get much better unless Indiana's beating up on Alabama. That was pretty good.
It's one of my favorite times of the week just to be with you every Sunday on this legendary show, Sports on a Sunday Morning. How about those Hoosiers? You know, I wrote a piece last week, SCL Sports Central, where I just went nuts. I should have emailed it to you. I just went absolutely bananas because for the life of me, I could not understand why. I hate to always use these cliches, mainstream media, college football, national media, SEC media. It was almost universal. They not only thought Alabama would win, but they were kind of sneering at the idea that Indiana would win that game. And I'm like, you know me, man, to a fault, I'm a numbers fanatic, right? I went through every metric there is, and Indiana had a distinct advantage over Alabama in every single category, right? And, you know, I just said, what is wrong with people? Okay, this is not Norman Dale and Hickory High, okay? I mean, what is wrong with your brains that you can't understand that Indiana is a great, great football team in every area? And other than Kirby Smart, because I would give him, I would just give him that respect. Cignetti is like the second best head coach in college football. I mean, you know, and some people would say at the moment he's number one, but people were treating them like they were James Madison or something.
No,
you
it's
know,
crazy.
It's just unbelievable.
No,
I loved that blowout. I absolutely loved it.
It was a lot of fun. It was reminiscent of when they beat the ninth-ranked team in the country by 53 points. You can't go back. Illinois was ranked ninth in the country. I mean, they beat them 63-10. I don't know what else you need. That was the one where I thought people knew at that point. But, you know, if you're saying that Indiana isn't at the standard of an Alabama or Georgia or whatever, then you're basically diminishing Iowa. You're diminishing Oregon. You're diminishing Penn State, which I guess you can, but they still were playing at home. You're diminishing Ohio State. I mean, you know, what else do you need to know? So, you know, they came out and they absolutely bludgeoned Alabama. And it's funny when it comes out that, you know, you see all the backtracking. I mean, they're the backtracking is just in high gear right now. I mean, people saying, well, you know, I was wrong about that, or, well, I didn't consider. I mean, you had Clay Travis. I don't know why I even bring up the name on the air, but he tweeted, Alabama will beat Indiana in the Rose Bowl. Save this tweet. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah. Tough guy.
All right, big guy.
Okay.
Yeah, gotcha.
But you know what, Tom, you know, just to continue this on a minute, because there's like an overview point to make. I think media in general, but also fans, but let's put it on the media because we don't put it on ourselves enough, but I don't think this applies to everybody, but it applies to too many people, especially national media who should know better. They have to understand that the college football has changed. Now, they'll say, oh, well, we know it's changed. NIL, you know, transfer portal. Of course we know it's changed. No, you don't. Because they haven't adjusted their expectations because, you know, well, Indiana's lost more games than anybody, so they can't possibly be this good. Well, why are we talking about history? Why aren't we talking about 2024 and 2025? Why aren't we talking about the moment? As I wrote in that column, I said, listen, Indiana's not playing one of those legacy teams coached by Bear Bryant or Nick Saban. They're playing the 2025 version of Alabama, and people that are supposed to be experts on this, what is it about that they don't understand? Bear Bryant's not over there, okay? Nick Saban's, you know, up in the broadcast booth or whatever. I mean, what?
No, I agree.
People keep making judgments as if they're, if an Indiana who's an upstart came out of nowhere, but great, great team, they're playing a blue blood. Well, people think that, like, Indiana has to take on the weight of history, you know, to beat, like, a blue blood program instead of looking at where that blue blood program is right now.
Yeah,
and, it's just incredibly stupid, you know, if you think about it.
It's amazing. Right? Well, it's kind of like how we've, I guess, been programmed in college football to admire these brands, that they're always going to be dominant. You know, I would expect it out of a Stephen A. Smith or a Colin Cowherd or a Mike Greenberg or, you know, people who, you know, I know they're big names, but let's be honest, like, they're watching the NFL. They're not watching every college. Greeny might. He's a Northwestern guy. He understands the Big Ten. But some of these big names nationally on ESPN are watching the NFL, so they don't know. But when I hear even Kirk Herbstreit, who has turned the corner now, but people like that who are live and breathe college football, to still, because it says Indiana, think that it's not going to happen. I mean, Bernie, there was no secret in that game. That's a game that would have made Bear Bryant very proud. I mean, they just absolutely smoked Alabama at the line of scrimmage, period.
And, you know, and you think that they would have given Cignetti, well, first of all, just all the credit he deserves. immense credit. But also recognizing if they're so hung up on brands and they're so hung up on iconic coaching names, you know, it was almost like a few days before the games they discovered that Cignetti was an assistant under Nick Saban in Alabama. You know, it's like, well, he didn't just come, you know, he didn't come in out of a coal mine and just start coaching. I mean, this guy wasn't like some, you know, a bartender who like one day, you know, walked on a field and said, can I coach this team? You know, oh yeah, okay, yeah, whatever you want. He was trained by Nick Saban, for goodness sake, right?
I know. Yeah, the coaching tree is incredible. I mean, all four of them, Lanning,
yeah,
Golding,
yeah,
Cristobal, and Cignetti are all from the Saban coaching tree. It's going to make for a great playoff. Bernie, we only have a couple of minutes left, so just I wanted to get your thoughts on the Cardinals, because I did promote that we're going to go heavy on baseball, but just with 2 minutes on the clock here, your latest feelings on where the team is in terms of its offseason.
Well, number one, they've got, you know, and I listen to the conversation as I always do, and listen to the show as I do most times, unless there's, I'm running around like I'm crazy or something and can't get to it right on time. But anyway, they've got to trade Arenado. I still think they will. And I think, you know, I think there's the Angels are a natural outlet. And I see people writing and saying, well, he may not want to go there because they don't have a chance to win. I tell you what, I mean, all due respect, they probably got a better chance to win than the Cardinals do in 2026. But that's not even the point. The point is that does he want to play, or does he, you know, there's no way Ali Marmol, if Arenado's back and he's got to make all these decisions, and this is a rebuild, so it's got to be shifted towards youth. The focus has got to be on youth. There's no way that Arenado can play as much as he would like to when you're keeping Nolan Gorman around. You want to place Thomas Sejace. You want J.J. Weatherholt to play a lot. And if they had Donovan and Arenado both back, then you haven't changed your team in terms of a position player standpoint, like basically hardly at all, except for Contreras. But Arenado would be a roadblock for some things they want done, so they've got to find a way. And that's on Heim. And Mr. DeWitt as well. But number two, you know, I really support Heim Bloom's handling of the Donovan situation, and he's been consistent because he has told all of us from the very beginning that he's not just going to trade Donovan to trade Donovan. It's got to be something that the Cardinals are really excited about and think is a great deal. He's not going to settle for, you know, like lowball offers or whatever. And I think that's the right position to take. They don't have to trade Brendan Donovan, right? And people like me who have advocated it, it isn't because we don't dislike or don't respect or appreciate Donovan. It's just a matter of pragmatism. I mean, if you can get a lot in return for a guy that's got, you know, only 2 years left before he becomes a free agent, it makes sense to do it. But I like Heim Bloom digging in and saying, no. We're not giving him away. So I support that, because if Brendan Donovan comes back, I still don't think it'll happen. But if he does, it's for a good reason. It's for a justifiable reason.
He's Bernie Miklas. You can find him on YouTube. Absolute must watch. And certainly everything that he does with STL Sports Central, with us and beyond, is hanging on every word. That's for sure. We appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
See you, bud.
Bernie Miklas, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling. We'll see you next time on Sports on a Sunday Morning.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.